Let's pray together and we'll get going, okay? God, thank you for this day and just thank you for this moment that we have just to come in and to dive into your word, to learn and to grow. I pray that through it that you'll be glorified, that we will just honor you in all things, that your word will be made clear, and that our lives will just reflect as a result your image and what it is that you desire for us to be. So give me clarity of thought, God. Bring my mind to this moment. God, bring your word to my remembrance and bring your words out of my lips. And it's in Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen. All right, welcome to Wednesday night. I'm going to get you to turn in your Bibles, if you would, to Hebrews. Hebrews chapter number 4 is where we're going to be taking our text tonight. And we're going to look at something that I think is very important. That kind of stems from a conversation that I had earlier today, and I haven't been able to escape it since. I had another sermon that I was going to preach tonight and just share with you, but the more the day went on, the more this just kept resonating in my mind. God bringing out his word and bringing out his truth throughout the day. And as I reflected on it, it just ministered to me in such a way that I cannot get away from it. And in my life currently, just exactly in this moment, it's very appropriate for something that literally just happened just a few minutes ago, right before I came live. And not in a bad way, but just a reminder that God is always on time and God is constant and he's consistent and true. So in there, I want you to grab your Bibles, go to Hebrews chapter number 4. Now, I'm actually in a study, and I'll just share this in my personal life, in the beginning of Hebrews chapter 4, examining God's place of rest and what he's talking about here. And it's a beautiful thing as it's comparing it to our Sabbath, our place of worship. And after God created the world, he took that Sabbath day and he rested. And so I would challenge you, if you want something interesting, something mind-provoking to study, to start studying the beginning of this chapter. But I'm actually going to bring out some very familiar verses to us at the end of this chapter. It ends very powerfully. I mean, matter of fact, I'm not going to hit on these much tonight, but verse number 12, talking about how powerful the word of God is. And by the way, if you haven't learned by now, I hope you'll learn in this passage and in this time, the season of our lives, just how powerful God's word is. We don't use it enough. We don't believe it enough, nor do we know it enough. And we need to get deeper into that so that we can grow in what God is doing. And so if you would, in verse number 12, it talks about it's alive. It's a powerful word. As a matter of fact, if you've ever studied God's word, it is definitely alive. It's amazing that a book can be written thousands of years ago and feel as if it was written for my personal life, for today and what I'm going through. And no doubt, if you're a study of God's word, you have felt the same too. It's almost God put that chapter in the Bible because he knew you. Jesus told that story or that parable because he knew where you would be at the moment you were reading it. No other book can do that. Other books draw you into what their story is. God's word draws into our story. And that's what's beautiful. It doesn't draw us into something. It meets us in something. And that's something I hope you're learning during the season that we're in today. Okay? And so if you would, let's start reading and we'll develop what we're going to be talking about in verses number 14 through the end of the chapter. And it says this: so since we have this high priest who has entered heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to what we believe. This high priest of ours understands our weaknesses, for he faced all the same testings that we do, yet he did not sin. It goes on and he says, so let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God. There we will receive his mercy and we will find grace to help us when we need it most. And so tonight, as we dive in, I want us to look at this truth. Have you ever found yourself in life wishing that life could change? Or you ever found yourself wondering why things are the way they are, or yet not understanding the things that are going on around you? And have you ever found yourself frustrated or are going through different things that are happening and evolving around your life? And if the answer is yes, if the answer is I've been there, then I think it's important that we emphasize so was Jesus. So did Jesus. He experienced those things too. And in a conversation I had earlier today, we were talking about these things that we battle in life, such as insecurity and fear and anxiety and stress. And no doubt if you're human, all right, and let's put it out there, you are, but just in case you didn't know, if you are human, all right, then you have experienced those emotions and those feelings. And as a child of God, if you've experienced those after you've given your heart to Christ, there's no doubt been a guilt that came with those feelings. You when you ask God questions, or you're frustrated with the way life is, or you have something in your life that bothers you, there's no doubt that that creates an anxiety or an overwhelming pressure of, well, I'm supposed to be a believer. Why do I feel this way? And the enemy just piles onto that and starts making you feel like you're broke down or terrible, or you don't have much faith because you're dealing in those areas. But the reality is this. The Bible says that we have a high priest, Jesus, somebody who goes back and forth on our behalf, somebody who represents us to God. That was the purpose of the high priest, and now Jesus is our representation when it comes to God. And it says that that high priest, he understands our weaknesses because he was human too. And so you sit there and you get attacked, and I sit and get attacked because I have these things in life that pop up, or circumstances in life that come in that I don't understand. And I begin to question who I am, or I begin to question whether or not I don't believe right, or whether or not I'm not strong enough in my faith. But the reality is Jesus Christ had those same moments. Did he experience frustration? Absolutely. Did he experience temptation? You better believe it. We talked this past Sunday how his first 40 days of ministry, right before he launched actually into ministry, was full of temptation, and it was a time that he was trying to get alone to fast with God. But then his last 40 days were full of victory. But there was often times where we see that Jesus encountered different attacks throughout his life, different emotions throughout his life. We know that Jesus knew what it was like to have a heartbreak. Some of the most powerful relational words that we find about Christ was the fact that when Jesus found out Lazarus was dead, and they came to him and said, had you been here, my brother wouldn't have died. The Bible says Jesus wept. And a lot of preachers preach, and we've heard a lot of different things that, well, he wept because they didn't believe, or he wept because Lazarus was dead. The reality is he wept because it pierced his heart. He felt it deeply. And there's times in my life that I find myself where all I can do is cry, or because of what somebody's going through or what I've been through, because I feel it deeply. And in those moments, the enemy likes to make us feel guilty for feeling like that. But the reality is Jesus did also. And the good news is the Bible said that even though he experienced his weaknesses, he did not sin. Are you messed up because sometimes you feel messed up? No. Are you messed up because you have emotions? Are you messed up because sometimes you don't understand what's going on around you, and neither do I? No, we're not messed up. We are human. The difference is Jesus responded to those circumstances of his life a little bit different than we do. And so as I was talking with someone today, we were talking about this whole, how a lot of people say, hey, I need to find myself. And the reality is this, you'll never find yourself. You never be able to figure out who you are. And I will never be able to figure out who I am. I mean, think about the logic behind that. Well, I need to take time to find out who I am. Well, how can you not know who you are and find out who you are? It's impossible. The only way that we can do that, and this comes from this conversation this morning, is to find out who God is and to see who God is, because we were created in his image. We were created to reflect him. We were created to be like him. And the more I understand about how God functions and how God responds to things, it directly builds up how I can understand myself and how I should respond to things and why I am the way I am. I mean, you are the way you are and I am the way I am because God has emotions too. God feels deeply too. God cares and loves deeply. And therefore, does God hurt? Yes. The Bible said he's touched with the feeling of our infirmities. He's pierced. I mean, Jesus was even crucified for our sins. And so you and I cannot get bought into this mindset that just because we don't understand, or just because we have a fear that creeps in, or just because we have a frustration, or just because we have these moments of stress, that we are terrible, because Jesus Christ had those things too. Yet he did it without sin because of the way he responded. And And so that's what we're going to look at today. As a matter of fact, I think that is what is being captured and believed firmly. That's what's being captured in the scriptures today. It's the response to these things is being laid out for us so that we can respond appropriately to the things that are going on around us. Okay. And so let's look at this and let's dive in. How should I respond? Well, the question comes back to how did Jesus respond? I mean, we know in the conversation I was having, we were talking about Gethsemane, and we know that that was a very high stress time for Jesus. Matter of fact, he had a medical condition that formed during that time to where his blood vessels started to rupture and his sweat became blood. A lot of people try to talk about how spiritual that was, but that was actual a physical encounter that was taking place because of a spiritual war that was raging within. And in there, you see where he's asking God, let's go another way. Let's do these things. And so he's battling back and forth with what is going on in his life. And he's saying, okay, God, if you want to do it this way, fine. But if you want to do it another way, that's good too. And so understand, somebody's driving by, understand that when we see that and when we understand that, when we recognize what's going on in that moment, we've got to understand that Jesus was going to God saying, God, I don't like how I feel. I don't like what's going on. I don't like what things are happening around me. And so he's literally filled with an anguish, and that anguish starts to have a physical effect on his body. We've said this many times at Grace that you and I got to understand that even doctors say stress will take an incredible toll on your body. The difference is Jesus was taking that stress to God. And if you realize it and you look at it and you understand it, that we realize, hey, how are you? You realize that Jesus in that moment was under such agony and stress and strain that he was even questioning the relationships that he had with his disciples. Here's the people that he had always been there for. The Peter, the James, the John that he had walked through their darkest times with, that he had counseled and that he had mentored and taken and done miracles in front of, that when he is about to face one of the hardest things he's ever faced in ministry, they're asleep. And you see him kind of lashing out saying, hey, why are you asleep? I need you. I told you this was going to happen. And when I need you most, you're resting. You know, and in our conversations today, we were talking about how, do we not do that with our own families? I mean, do we not do that with our own spouses? Do we not do that with our coworkers and people around us? We'll get all this stress on us and we start to lash out at the people that we're closest to, or we start to stress out in the people that we're closest to. But when Jesus came to his disciples, he was explaining to them what was going on. And that's the difference. A lot of times we don't explain what we're going on. We just get stressed and we respond negatively, or we respond in flesh and therefore do things that we shouldn't do. Well, the Bible said Christ didn't do that, and everything he did, he didn't sin. And so I look at this and I got this great understanding in my life that a lot of times I'm insecure, not based on my faith as much as based on the attack that the enemy has against my faith, to try to say, well, God could never love you because you feel the way you feel, or God could never use you because you have doubts and questions. God could never approach you because you don't understand fully everything there is to scriptures, and God would never inspire your life or use that. And he'll pile all these things on, as I'm sure he's done with some of us that are listening and watching this video. And the reality is that's just simply not true. God can use anybody. God loves everybody. God doesn't limit anybody based on their abilities, because God has never once acted in our lives based on what we're able to do. He has always acted in our lives based on his ability and what he wants to do in us and through us. And so understand today, if you're battling fear or you're battling the unknown and you've got questions and you don't understand, that is not make you a terrible person. What it simply makes us need to do is to evaluate how Jesus himself in human form responded to those situations in his life. Oftentimes you see where Jesus got alone to pray. Oftentimes you see him tell the disciples, you go on to the other side. I've got to spend time with God. You know, there were times in Jesus' life that he prayed to the Father over what was going on. But there's other times in his life that he spoke the word of God. He spoke truth and rebuked the enemy in what he was doing. And I believe in our lives that we have got to understand that there is times in our lives that we have got to speak to the enemy and rebuke the enemy, resist the enemy in Jesus' name, knowing that that will make the enemy flee. But even the disciples one day were having this moment that they were trying to cast out a demon and it wasn't working. And Jesus said to them, certain demons can only be cast out through prayer. And so he's saying, hey, there's certain things that you're going to have to take to the Father. There's certain things that the Father has brought to you that you've got to put into action. There's certain things that the Word of God can conquer. So in the temptation period of Jesus' life, where Satan's tempting him, Jesus is hitting him with scripture. He's coming after him with the Word of God, taking the authority through what God's Word has said. Now remember, Hebrews 4, verse number 12 tells us how powerful and live the Word of God is. And so what we need to understand is, if I'm going to learn how to navigate through this life, if you are going to learn how to navigate through this life, we've got to see how Jesus navigated through his life. And in different circumstances and in different situations, he responded with different tactics. Sometimes it's hitting your knees, getting alone with God. Sometimes it's standing on God's word. Sometimes it's proclaiming God's word. And sometimes it's rebuking according to the power given by God and his Holy Spirit. And so understand, in our lives right now, you are not broken and you are not messed up simply because you do not understand. Where we mess up and where it breaks down is when we try to lean on our own understanding and in our own logic in those times. You are in a spiritual world that has physical attributes. You are not in a physical world. Everything you see behind me and around me was created by a spiritual God, spoken into existence by God. And therefore, we live as if everything we see is what the world is. But the reality is everything we see is the result of a spiritual world that exists beyond this. And so if I try to take care of the spiritual issues of my life with physical and logical reasoning, it will not work, because the core of who I am is spirit. I have a spirit. You have a spirit. But what my spirit needs and what your spirit needs, we call that spirit our soul, is it needs God's spirit to invade it so that it can be strengthened to where it can overcome the things that are going on around us. You say, well, I'm not scared of a virus. Well, I'm going to tell you this now. If you're using that logic based on your ability to be strong right now, then great. You're not scared of the virus right now. But I guarantee you, if you got it, your fear would change in its relationship status with you. It would go from, hey, I'm not afraid, to I'm in a relationship with fear. But the difference is you don't have it right now, or you're not going through it right now, therefore you're not afraid of it right now. But just because you're not there right now doesn't mean you're not going to get there. And so if you're using your willpower to overcome your fear, you're going to find yourself afraid. That's why the Bible 365 times talks about fear. Here, write it down. God put fear in the Bible. Do not be afraid, in some shape, form, or fashion, 365 times, because he knew we would be afraid. All right? Are you with me? It's because he knew we would face fear. People say it's because he's given a solution to fear, which is true. He's saying, I am with you. I'll never leave you. I've given you my word. I've given you my presence. I've given you my salvation. But the reality is that there's 365 talks about fear because God knew that we would be afraid. Are you catching on? The Bible was written not to make you feel stupid, but because the Bible, God, wrote in his word what he knew you and I would need. That's why it's powerful and alive. And so God is saying, hey, don't be afraid. And you know why he's saying don't be afraid? Because he knows there's more than 365 ways that you can become scared like that. I have an overwhelming fear of snakes. When I got home today, I had a brief chance to run in, take a shower, change, and run back out. And when I got home, my son was sitting on the front porch with his granny, and they had been walking for 3 hours. Actually, it was an amazing thing. Lincoln has never done this before. No technology, none of that other stuff. And he was just enjoying Grammy. They had a moment like they've never had before, and I think it's a beautiful thing. She was actually sharing that with me. I immediately take out my phone and start popping pictures, you know, because there he is sitting with Grammy where they've been for 3 hours swinging. But Lincoln had no shoes on. And you can ask my wife, okay, this is something that we go back and forth with all the time in our house. Lincoln loves to go outside with no shoes on. Jordan, she's okay with going outside with no shoes on. I refuse. I don't like to go outside with no shoes on. You're saying, why? Because you're scared you're going to step on something? You know, not something. One thing. I'm scared I'm going to step on one thing. And that one thing is a snake. I don't care where I am outdoors, I'm thinking about snakes. This grass behind me is a little bit too long for my liking. If I were to pull it out, and I can't really get a strand, it's a little bit long. Every time I see a long piece of grass, I'm thinking snake. I mow the field beside me anytime I get a chance when it's high. Not because I'm taking care of my neighbors, although it kind of seems that way. It's because I don't want snakes. And so I'm constantly, when I'm outside, thinking about snakes. If you know me, you already know that. That's old news. But you say, well, you're not spiritual because you have a fear of snakes. No, it's because I am spiritual. I have that fear. All right. Are you with me? God gave us fear as an alert system. All right. To let us know this something. Things not right. You and I should fear the consequences of sin. Matter of fact, the Bible says we should even fear the Lord. But that type of fear is an, oh, wow, he is so big and he is so huge and he is so awesome. I can't understand him. So, wow, God is good. That's the fear that that's talking about. But you know, fear is a radar system that lets you know that something's not right. All right. So if somebody were to start just circling where I am right now and just repetitively circle and look at me every time, my radar system should go off and say something's not right here. Pay attention. All right. If you're in a situation and you don't understand what's going on, you should understand that God gave you a radar. All right. Now, fear is not supposed to control you, nor is it supposed to control me. But God knew that we would be in moments that fear would come out. Fear helps us recognize the enemy. You know, we should fear what would happen if the enemy had control of our lives. But the reality is we should trust the Lord to overcome our fears. And so God says, don't be afraid. I'm with you. Don't be afraid. I'm not going to leave you. I'm not going to forsake you. God is saying all these things so that we would have protection. God wrote about fear because he knew you and I would have it. God sent Jesus Christ to overcome sin because he knew you and I would mess up. So are you following this logic? God did not write this entire scripture based on the fact that you should be perfect. God sent the entire scripture based on the fact that he knew you would not be perfect and therefore gave us a perfect way to live our lives, gave us a perfect model through Jesus Christ of how we can establish our lives so that we can be grounded, rooted, and overcome these things that are in our lives. That's why we have scriptures that say you have overwhelming victory. You are more than a conqueror through Jesus Christ. That's why we have all these things in our lives is because God gave us a failsafe. He gave us something to lean on. And he tells us, don't lean on your own understanding, but in all your ways and everything you do, acknowledge him and he'll direct your path. In other words, you know what he means by he'll direct your path? He will keep you safe while showing you which direction you should go. And so in our lives, we've got to get to this point of realization that you are not messed up simply because you get frustrated, simply because you have fear, simply because things go on in your life that are out of your control. Jesus prayed in Gethsemane, God, if there's another way. He prayed on the cross, why are you forsaking me? I mean, you see these anguish moments pour out of Christ. And so if Jesus in human flesh had moments of anguish in his life, then you and I are going to have moments of anguish in ours. And in there, the response needs to be the same. We need to run to Jesus. We need to build on his word. We need to use his word. We need to proclaim his word. We need to rebuke with his word. And we need to trust it. Live it, let it lead and guide our lives. And so here's what it says. We have this high priest. He's just like you and me. He became human. He experienced our weakness. Matter of fact, in King James, he was tempted in every way that you and I were tempted. Yet without sin. Why? Because he had a method. You say, well, I need to get to know myself. I need to figure out who I am. Well, Jesus is the only way you're going to do that. Figure out who Jesus was, how he responded, what he did with his life, and you'll figure out who you are and what you can do and what God wants to do with your life. And so here's what he says. He says, number one, we need to hold tightly to our faith. Right now, the greatest thing that you and I could do is hold to what we believe. And if you don't know what you believe, right now is a good time to establish what you believe. I said this to somebody today. I want to reiterate it to you now. Your beliefs need to be dissected and built based on God's word and God's word alone. We were talking with someone about overcoming insecurity and talking about different situations that we have been through that are similar. And when you're absent a certain role model or absent a certain, illustrator of how you should be as a man or as a woman or as a couple, what do you do? Well, you need to go let God establish who you are. And the way to do that is through Christ. And so if you're sitting there and you're battling insecurity, you're overcoming, maybe you've got abuse in your background. Maybe you've got the things that are hurting you in your background. Maybe you've got addiction in your background, or you're just coming out of sin. You just changed your life and you're trying to figure out, what do I do now? I challenge you to go read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and read it in Jesus mindsets. In other words, what was Jesus doing? What settings was he in? How did he respond when the Pharisees were doubting him? How did he respond when people wanted to kill him multiple times and wanted to arrest him? How did he respond to false accusation? How did he respond when he was lied to? How did he respond when somebody he wanted to depend on was running away and denying him at the time he needed them most? How did he respond when he went through the darkest day of his life, when he felt so distant from God, and the reality was he was distant from God as he hung on that cross? Because there's no doubt that you and I are going to go through days where we feel like we're far away from God. And there's no doubt that you and I are going to go through days where people that we should be able to lean on are not present. We are going to go through days to where we're lied about, we're falsely accused. We're going to go through days when things are hurtful and painful. But the truth is, we're never going to go through a day that God is not present. We're never going to go through the day that God is not watching, and we're never going to go through a circumstance that God doesn't go through too. And so in our lives, we've got to understand that he modeled how we live. And if you want to know who you are, you've got to know who Jesus is, because we, without Jesus Christ, are lost. That is it. Lost doesn't mean you're on your way to hell. Lost means you have no hope, you have no understanding, you have no way, you have no guide, you have no comfort, you have no peace, you have no compass in your life. Lost is not just an eternal state. Lost is a literal moment state of where you are right now. And if you do not have Christ, you are aimlessly wandering through life. And if you want to know what life is all about, it is about the relationship that God desired with you. And unfortunately, because of sin, the only way that you and I can have that relationship that God designed us to have is through Jesus Christ. And so therefore, if I get to know me, I must get to know him, because I am created to reflect him. I am created to be like him. And so I want you to understand, whatever circumstance you're in, if the enemy's tempting you with things right now or coming at you with things right now, there is a solution, and it is Jesus. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Please go read the life of Jesus. Please go model after the life of Jesus. His heart broke deeply. There were moments where he was angry. There were moments when he was rebuking. There was moments when he had to get away. There was moments that he had to refocus on what really mattered in that time and in that period. There were moments where he was in the moment and not in the what is to come, but talking with the persons that are right in front of them instead of missing that moment, thinking about every other moment that was to follow or every other thing that was going on around. If you're saying, man, life is complicated, so is Jesus's. If you're saying, hey, I am in a war, so did Jesus. If you're saying, I'm in a war for my life, so did Jesus. Jesus was right there too, and he battled those things too. And through his example, and through his truth, and through his life, through his teachings, through his death, through his resurrection, you and I can find who we were made to be. And so in there, I want you to understand that there are things that are outlined in these few verses, and I'm just going to outline them real quick and let you get to what you got to do for the rest of the night, which is hopefully celebrating Jesus as you're going moment by moment. He says this: we got to hold tightly to what we believe. And if you don't know what you believe, you need to establish it. And as a pastor, can I say it this way? Do not establish your faith based on my beliefs. And do not establish your faith based on someone else's writings. If you want to build your faith, the best way, the best commentary, the best writing on God's word is God's word. And if you want a life that's going to be established, and you want a life that's going to be sustained, then you must build it on something that has already been established, that will never change, and that is the word of God. Let his word be truth, and every man, including Josh Moore, in your life be a liar, because your life is too valuable to allow me to have control of it with the things that I preach. Now, Now, I try and I'm striving to preach the word of God in its pureness and its truth, but I am human and I do not always get it right, and I am not going to sit here and pretend I'm perfect. But God never fails, and his word never returns vain. It never returns void. It will always accomplish an amazing work in your life. And so if you are believing what you believe based on what you've always been taught, then you need to go read God's word in its context, read it as it's written and who it was written for and in the story of which it was written, because there are people that are taking a verse here and a verse there and trying to tell people this is what you should believe, when the Bible is written in a way of context that shows us this is why Jesus was saying what he was saying. This is who he was saying it to. This was the circumstance that Jesus was going through, and we cannot misinterpret it. And I'm just going to be honest and say this. There have been many times I've had to apologize to congregations because I preached something based on what I had heard instead of preaching something based on what I had studied and found to be true because of God's word and his Holy Spirit. And so I had to go back and make it right. I'm saying that to you to say this. If your faith is built on what your church believes, you're in trouble. Your faith needs to be built on what God has said. Human logic and human reasoning always falls short, but God's word never, never comes up short, never falls on deaf ears. And so I want you to stand tonight on God's word. Go tear down what you believe built by man and start building what you believe based on God's word and what it says. And I promise you, you'll find out who Jesus is. You'll find out what life is all about. You'll find out the meaning of the life that God has given you. You'll find yourself through Jesus Christ. But absent Jesus Christ, you can't find anything at all. You are lost. And therefore, you got to hold tightly to what you believe. Now, here's the thing. How I respond in circumstances, all right, are you ready? How the church responds in coronavirus proves what we believe. It shows what we believe. What we run to is what we believe in. If obedience is what we do, then we believe in obeying God. But if we do it our own way, then we are selfish in our nature. You following this logic? Matter of fact, I say it this way. When you're having a bad day, when something doesn't go the way you want it to go, the first thing you turn to, the thing you want the most during that time, is your God. So look at it this way. Going through a bad breakup and you say, I just want ice cream. And if ice cream's what you go to, or eating habits are what you go to every time you don't like the way life is going, then food has become a god in your life, and that idol needs to be turned down. We need to get to a point in our lives, and this is what the Bible's saying here in Hebrews 4, that when we are in need, when we are in sin, and when we are in struggle, we are running to God. That's what he means by come boldly to the throne of grace, that number one, you can get mercy. Mercy is what we need when we have messed up. And God's saying, hey, have you messed up? Come here. Get mercy. Mercy is, hey, God's saying, hey, no, I do not hate you. No, I am not giving up on you. No, I am not forfeiting my plan for your life. No, that is not what's going to happen. Instead, I'm going to give you, based on my character, what I want you to have, what I believe you deserve, instead of giving you what your character actually deserves. That's what mercy is. I'm going to give you, God's saying, I'm going to give you based on my character, instead of giving to you based on yours. Praise God for that. Otherwise, we'd all be in trouble, right? God's mercy is abundant in our lives. And he's saying, hey, have you messed up? Run to God. Get your mercy. But it also says you can come boldly and get the grace. Grace is that fuel, that energy, that excitement, that love, that peace that can only come from God. And he says, hey, you need this so it can help you in the times that you need it the most. And so God's saying, hey, I want to be your go-to. I want to be your everything. I want to be your focus. I want to be what you rely on. I want to believe what you're turning to. And so instead of turning to panic, instead of turning to Dr. Phil, turn to me, and I'm the one that can cure your sins. I'm the one that can overcome your circumstances. I'm the one that has already laid out a plan to get you through what you just found out you're going through. Isn't it amazing? God has already formed a plan for what you and I don't even know we're going to go through. And therefore, when we start going down a path that we didn't know was going to happen in life, we can turn to our God who has already established that path of what we need to do during that time. And so for that, we can praise. And in that, I can find myself feeling excited about who God is. The question was made to me, how do I get back to the place where I feel full of God? Well, we got to stop making that a place of our lives, and we got to start making that the moment of our lives. There is never going to be this time to where you're always up here. No, you're going to have times that kind of look like this. And you're going to go up and you're going to go down. Anybody else been on this roller coaster of life? All right. You're here for a moment and then all of a sudden it's tick, 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 boom. All right. Next thing you know, you're like, what do I do? So God knows that we're going to be on this roller coaster of life. But God's saying, hey, in this moment, seek me. In this moment, seek me. Hey, your spirituality is not based on how good you feel. Your spirituality is based on how good you believe God is. Let me say it again. Your spirituality is not based on how good you feel, how good a song makes you feel, or how good a sermon makes you feel. Our spirituality is based on what we believe about the goodness of God. And if I believe that God is good, then here I feel just as spiritual as when I'm here. And Jesus had his high moments of ministry to where thousands of people are listening and thousands of people are wanting to hear his truth. But he also had low moments of ministry when he's the only one hanging on the cross and no one's there to hear what he has to say, but instead are mocking him and ridiculing him. You and I are going to have highs and you are going to have lows. But the truth is God is the God of the highs and God is the God of the lows. And therefore we can be just as excited about God no matter where we are in this journey. Our spirituality is not based on how we feel. Our spirituality is based on how we are filled with what God has provided for us through the Holy Spirit and his word and through what Jesus Christ has accomplished for us. I hope you've stuck around long enough to understand this and to hear this. And I also hope it's something that you will not just hear, it's something you'll build your life on. And so here it is. Number one, you got to realize that Jesus went through the same things you went through, that Jesus was tempted by the same enemy that you were being tempted by and that I am being tempted by. And you say, man, I'm just human. So is Jesus. Or, man, this is just how I am. No, so was Jesus. He was in flesh too. But he did it without sin because of how he chose to respond to the circumstances of his life. Jesus always controlled the circumstance instead of letting the circumstance control him. Can I say it again? Jesus always controlled the circumstance instead of allowing the circumstance to control him. And so then we've got to understand that not only was Jesus human, but we've got to also understand that Jesus establishes our faith. And when I build my life based on who Jesus Christ is, I have a stability in my life. James 1 tells us to pray without faith that's unloyal, a divided faith between the world and him. He says people that are divided between the world and God should not expect to receive anything that they pray for, because a double-minded person is unstable in all their ways. It says for us to believe only in him and to trust only in him, and he will direct our path. So, matter of fact, the question becomes this: what do you have faith in today? Because whatever you have faith in today is producing your emotions and your feelings. And if you don't like your emotions and feelings, then you've got a misplaced faith. And so therefore, take your evaluation of life. What is it I'm believing in this moment? Am I believing in my logic? I messed up if I'm doing that. Am I believing in my circumstance? I messed up if I'm doing that. Or do I believe in Jesus, who's in control of all of this, and I'm going to trust him and I'm going to obey him and I'm going to follow him? I'm set up if I'm doing that. And so I hold tightly to my faith, which, by the way, you are doing right now, whether it's in God or in the world. You're holding tightly to something, but please be holding on to something that has the ability to hold back. All right. Can I say that again? Put your faith, hold tightly to a faith that has the ability to hold back. My Father, which gave you me, is greater than all. No man is able to pluck you out of my Father's hand. Meaning this: when I put my faith in God, I've put my faith in someone who holds me back. And therefore, when I fall or I let go or my hands get weak, he's still got a hold of me. He's still in control of me. You follow? You got faith in something. Everybody believes in something. Most believe in the wrong things, and that is why their life is so chaotic. You can have peace in the middle of a storm when you know who's holding you. And it's so beautiful to be a hold of a hand that's got a better grip on you than you could ever get on it. And so understand, you got to hold tightly to your faith. You got to believe Jesus is human. Number three, you got to go to God with everything. Come boldly. Last verse, verse 16. Let us come boldly to the throne of grace of our gracious God so that we can get the mercy that we need. In other words, God, forgive me. And that forgiveness is abundant. God, I messed up, and God's saying, okay, let's go. That's abundant. All right. When I got home today, Lincoln had stubbed his toe. It had a little bit of blood on it, which I don't do blood. I'm not gory. And my mother-in-law made a statement, and she had no idea what I was talking about tonight, but it went beautifully with it. She said, Lincoln's experienced his first real stubbed toe, and he got a little cut, and there's a little gash on it. Yeah, but he's okay. You know, he's okay. It didn't take him in the house. He didn't want to go put his shoes back on. He didn't want to do all those things. You know why? Because Grammy and him were on a walk. They were picking up sticks. They were having fun. They were doing things. They were swinging. They were outside. They were in their element. You know why Lincoln's stub toe didn't shut him down? It wasn't because of his ability. It was because of Grammy's presence. And so when his disability was created by the stub foot, her ability brought peace to his situation. And in our lives, we've got to understand that God's mercy is his abilities being made known in our spiritual disabilities. And when we are not able, and when we are walking through life and we stub our foot or we make a bad decision and we're bloody and we're messed up or things aren't going the way we were, God's consistent. God's mercy keeps us going and keeps us active, stays consistent with us. It's not our ability in the moments and circumstances that give us the ability to overcome. It's his presence in our circumstances that gives us the ability to overcome. So I can go to God and say, I need your mercy, but I can also go to God and say, I need your strength. I need your grace. I need your help through this moment, knowing that God is going to pull you through. So I want to say this, whoever you are, wherever you are, no matter what you're going through, no matter what you've done, no matter what fears or anxieties are in your life, you're not a messed up person because you feel the way you do. What's messed up is if you decide to let those feelings become the God of your life. And if you're struggling, or maybe in a season to come, you find yourself in struggle, don't allow your fears, your insecurities to become what dictates who you are. When Jesus met the moment of the highest stress of his ministry in Gethsemane, and his blood starts pouring out through his sweat, he still remembered who God was, still believed and still trusted him. When he was hanging on a cross paying for the sins of the world, he still knew who God was. And as a result, we don't have a story of a broke down Savior. We have a story of a risen, resurrected champion, because he endured the cross, despised the shame, and he walked all over it when he came out of that grave. And so you and I can come out of these circumstances too. And you and I will overcome through the promises of God's word too, if we simply hold tightly to a faith that's built on him. If we simply remember that Jesus Christ became like us and gave us a model of how we can overcome these situations. But if we always make it a habit to run to God with everything. If you've messed up, run to God. There's not judgment there. There's mercy there. If you're hurting, you're scared, you don't know what to do, you're facing battles that are out of your control, you got bills that you can't pay, you got things that are going on that are just creating chaos. If you're listening to me right now and coronavirus has hit your home and you got fear coming in, run to God. We have a God that says, okay, I'm in control, but while I'm doing the things that you can't understand, let me give you comfort and let me give you peace. You say, well, I run to God all the time. I talk to God all the time. Hey, listen, by the way, if you're running to God without running through his word, you're probably not running where you need to be. His word will take you into the mindsets that you need to have. It'll lead you into the paths that you need to take. It'll lead you to the truths that you desperately need to establish. And it'll conquer the fears that are desperately trying to destroy you. And so in here, I wanted to come on tonight and just tell you this. If you've got problems, so did Jesus. If you got hurts, so did Jesus. If you've got struggles, fears, anxieties, and stress, so did Jesus. But the reality is this, he had God, and so do you. And because of what Jesus Christ did with his life, he made this proof that we can overcome, and then gave us a promise that we are more than conquerors. Victory is overwhelmingly ours to the person whose faith is built in Jesus Christ. I pray this finds you well. I pray that this lifts your spirit. If God's ministered through it, hit the share button. Get the word out there. I cannot wait to see you. I do want to address something before we go. I know that the governor of the state of Tennessee has stated that hopefully by May 1st, they'll be opening things up. Don't get misled by this. I know a lot of people are asking us, does that mean we get to go right back to church? If you read his articles, they are still discouraging, even at that time, groups of 10 or more being in meeting. And so understand, they're going to get more clear as we get closer. As it stands now, this is the way that we are doing church until they finally say that we are lifting the restriction and guidelines off of gatherings and numbers of more than 10. Even if they raised it to 50, 100, 200, 300, 400, 500, 600, there's way more of you than that. And we're not going to stand at the door and say, you're not allowed because we're already at capacity. No. The day that we are able to walk back in that door is the day that everybody's going to be able to walk back in that door. But the good news is this, we can still celebrate Jesus Christ without ever stepping back through that door. But I can't wait for the day that we get to come back together. I promise you there's some unique things and surprises that God has been able to work out in ministry during this time. If you'd like to be a part of the ministry, there's links being posted right now. Our YouTube channel's out there for people that don't have Facebook, if you'd like to share it. It might be a little bit longer tonight before we get it listed on our YouTube, mainly because the guy that takes care of that, DJ Moody, is standing right there. He pulled up while I was speaking. So it's going to take him a little bit to get that on YouTube, but we'll get it. And as soon as we get it, we'll share that out. The tithing thing's on there if you want important information and announcements. Pastor David's doing a great job right now throwing all these links up there for you. It might be DJ. I don't know. It is DJ on the side of the road throwing up these links for you to be able to get connected. There's a Bible study thing that you can get on. Listen, you don't have to be a member of Grace Community Church to be a part of Right Now Media. It's a free resource that through Grace Community Church we're providing you. Please sign up for that. Unlimited amounts of Bible studies, okay? Just take every Bible study and make sure it's accurate with God's Word. There's stuff for you, your kids. Whitney Nichols, our children's team lead, still posting things out there for you and your kids to get involved in. Right now, there's some small group links that are popping up. We are doing virtual small groups, and they're going great. My Monday night class, youth groups meeting every Monday night at 7. We want you to get in touch with that. I think Eric is posting right now. They're doing a Zoom meeting for their Bible study that they do in their homes on Thursday night. And he's got the Zoom link with Garrett Cardwell. And man, it's awesome. I've got to hear Garrett teach a lot of times and I enjoy sitting under him. Pastor Dennis is doing one on finances, how to budget on Sunday nights at 5. Garrett's doing another one on Sunday nights. There's more just popping up. Hey, we are not absent of opportunity to grow in the Lord here. And for that, I say thank you, Jesus, for the technology that we've been given to be able to stay connected. So let me iterate. Because they open up businesses doesn't mean that they're going to open up the gatherings. And so stay tuned. Read the articles. We'll figure out what's going on there, okay? Hey, we love you. If you're just now tuning in, please go back and watch this from the beginning. You might want to excuse my stuttering there at the beginning. There was a lot going on right before I logged in here. Thank God he brought us into a focus. I pray that you'll dive into Hebrews chapter number 4 and that you'll just take some notes and write down some things that God speaks to your heart through his truth. You have a God that's working on your behalf, a God that desires a relationship with you and wants to be connected with you. Go, go, go. Dive deep into God's word. I'm going to say this and then I'll let you go. If when we come out of this quarantine or whatever you want to call it, if we come out the same way we went in, God help us, we've wasted an opportunity. I am praying that there is a God normal, not a new normal, a God normal, that when we come back together, that we have as a result of what we have seen God do during these times. I love you. I miss you. Stay safe. Stay smart. Stay obedient. Until Sunday at 10 a.m., I will see you again right here virtually on Facebook Live. We love you. God bless you. Have a good night.